The Torah portion this week is Vayigash. If you're reading the first few words, Vayigash, Eliv, Yehuda, and that would be Judah walked up and said. Many of your scriptures say to Joseph, that's not in the Hebrew, but it is understood that it is there. Okay? Now, my focus today is no little thing. It's Yahweh's will. And it is a word that's thrown around quite often with no understanding. And it's led to some scary theology. So, really quick, what do we mean by Yahweh's will? His desire, what he wants us to do. The question I would ask is everything that happens on the earth his will? And if it's not his will, did not Hasatan have to ask permission? So if Hasatan had to ask permission to do something, did he not have to give approval? So what is Yahweh's will? That's what I want to tackle. What do we mean? And what is Hasatan's will? We have made Hasatan to be equal to Yahweh in theology. That supposedly there's a battle going on and we have to be more focused, like, oh my gosh, Hasatan's attacking me. We've given him so much power because we've read in the newer covenant in the reality of this battle. Understand the battle is more inside of you than it is around you, specifically. Hasatan is there by your flesh every day going, haha, come on. There's things you want. You're not getting them. Yahweh's on the other side through his spirit, speaking to our spirit, and that battle is going on inside of us. For where is our future? Does Yahweh's will always happen? I would ask you to go to Job. I can't go to those verses right now. But in Job, it says the Hasatan has to go before Yahweh and ask for permission every time he comes down after Job. Again, that throws a kink into a lot of theology. Matthew 6:10. Yeshua is teaching his disciples about prayer, and he says, may your will be done on earth the same as it is in heaven. So a lot of people will take this to be two wills. And maybe it is. Really the goal is that Yahweh's will in heaven is done easy. Everybody wants to do it. On earth, we don't always choose to do his will. And to be honest, his will is his Torah, obeying the commands. And if we obey them, he will bless us. If we will not, he will curse us. But the point being is, not everything that happens that's bad is a curse. Not everything that good that happens is a blessing. He goes further, later in life, going back to that choice, and Yeshua is kneeling before the Father. We believe he's kneeling. He's at least crying out. And he knows the next day and the night of what's going to happen to his flesh. And he says, you know, Father, this cup can pass. But notice his goal as he ends with this. Confirming what Yahweh's will is. Again, it takes two, at least two witnesses, so he at least speaks three times. Let your will be done. Your will be done because I'm going to conform to your will. Now notice that the point being is he has a choice to not conform to Yahweh's will. What about, this is where it gets hard, children with cancer? What about abuse? What about murders? What about rape? That one's been in the news lately. People talking about, oh, maybe God meant for that to happen. What about? Take a moment and look at their faces. Children. What about? Do you want to tell them that this is Yahweh's will? Now, I'm not saying whether it is or not. My point being in that, in saying that, is that if it's His will, there are times and seasons to say that. And it's really not for you to say. You don't know the truth. You can't tell someone what's happening and why it's happening. That's only for Yahweh to decide. So what's the problem? Why do we have the things that are up there? Right there. Now again, Yahweh has to allow things to happen. We know that through Scripture. It has to come back to, He has to allow it. But He starts off the entire Scripture telling man, don't do this, which means He's giving him choice. Now understand, in the garden, was there death? Was there rape? Was there destruction? No. Was there any of those things? Absolutely not. Consequences of choice. And Yahweh had to know this when He gave it to man. That death and sin would come into the world. If He's going to give him a choice, these things were going to happen. He says, don't kill. Well, guess what? People are going to choose to kill. He shows us, do not commit adultery. People are going to commit adultery by giving choice. He has to allow choice to occur. Because you know what? No one loves you if you make them to love you. Because in the end, love is always a choice. If Yahweh made us to be a computer that just loved us because of the programming, and let's be honest, if any of you cloned someone to love you and you made them that way, would you ever feel the depth that they really loved you? Absolutely not, because you programmed them to love you. They didn't choose to love you. I was thinking about this morning. Hasatan becomes a salesman and turns curses into blessings. You imagine Hasatan's role. Remember the curses? Choose you this day, life and blessings, curses and death. Hasatan has to sell to humanity curses and death. And you want to talk about a great salesman? He's taken the lemon, the really bad situation of curses and death, and turn around that everybody wants that more than they want life and blessings. Just take the Scripture. There's the wide path and the narrow one. Hasatan's a great salesman. He's made lemonade that everybody wants. I mean, he's made what was bad so good. What always will. Throw me.
Not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. because of the creation itself, be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Man brought corruption to the earth. Not by choice, but by choosing death. It continues in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. All things, not some. To those who are called according to his purpose. And he goes on from there, they were conformed into the image of Messiah. Messiah's life was not beautiful. It was a tragedy. Why did he have to come? Because of all the darkness we brought into this world. All those things by choice. We decided to follow. This is from Torah. You don't need to go there. I have it up there already. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. This is Joseph speaking. Because you sold me here. For Elohim set me before you to preserve a blessing, prosperity, for you in the earth. And to save your lives by this great deliverance. So now it was not you who set me here, but Elohim. If anyone has the reason to say, you know what, I don't like Yahweh's will. You think Joseph would have accepted it when he was a slave in Potiphar's house? Oh, it's Yahweh's will. He'd been, I don't like Yahweh's will. When he was put into prison, I don't want Yahweh's will. But right now, what he's saying is he sees Yahweh's plan, even in the darkness, that Yahweh's turning the darkness into light. Bad into good. He goes on further in Genesis 50, 19 and 21. He says this. This is later. Do not be afraid. His brothers are afraid because their father is dead, and Joseph can retaliate now. Or they be. Do not be afraid, for I am in this place. Am I in the place of Elohim? Can I judge you? But as for you, you meant to do evil against me. But Elohim meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is today, to save many people alive. You meant it for evil. Yahweh used it for good. Your purpose was evil. Yahweh took that purpose and turned it around. Some may be dawning on you that you know some of these people. You have to deal with me for this. You would not know him. We know him. He was a strong man who was extremely smart, who worked really hard. He helped people by the strength of his back and by his intellect. Many nights, he could not sleep at night trying to come up with all the different solutions that fix problems. He was not the traditional person who believed in God. In fact, he may even say he did it, but if things went wrong, it was God who was doing it to him. We were praying for a long time that Yahweh would change his life. We didn't realize that cancer was the answer. Cancer of his lower back, which took away the ability for him to go and help people. Do you realize even with that, there was a day that the motor on my window in my car was broken, and he literally, with me holding his belt to go downstairs to my car, helped undo it, put a new motor in that the window we fixed, and we had to pay for it to be done. You know what chemo does? It took away his mind. He couldn't think through solutions to come up with them anymore. He couldn't fix them. Everything that he was good at was taken away from him. But you know what he started saying? He got concerned when my mother-in-law was going to the hospital to work, saying things like, "I'm going to pray for you," asking for prayer. He died the day after Yom Kippur. The service was on the first day of Sukkot. We read him Psalms in his last hours, and he became peaceful. Because of that, my mother-in-law lives in our house pretty much 24/7, except for when she goes over to take care of her mother. But she would not be a part of Ariel today. She would not be a part of our lives every day. She would not be a part of my children's lives every day had he not gone home. I bring this story not to emphasize a terrible tragedy, but to show how terrible tragedy Yahweh can do to do mighty, awesome things. This is his will. To make the broken repaired. To make it good. Again, what was polluted, destroyed. I don't want you to go there. I want you to listen to this. I just want these words to be read to you and for you to hear them or see them anew. You know when some tragedy happens in our life or going through a bad time that at some point a new beginning will start. And you know that when that beginning starts, it's going to start from darkness. Listen to these words as a metaphor. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And his will was equal in both. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. You know what that feels like? The darkness is over the face of the deep. Have you felt that depression and anger and frustration? And the Spirit of Yahweh was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, in the midst of that darkness, where there was no structure, there was no truth, there was no life, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw a light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness called night. You see, Genesis 1:1 is not what Yahweh did once, it's what Yahweh does every day in our lives. Isaiah 55, 6-11, and that's where I'm ending on. And you can go there with me. Isaiah 55. When Yahweh speaks a word, and you realize that this word is the light of his face, the truth, it changes things dramatically. It starts the process of making it good. Notice the whole part of Genesis is, and he saw it, and it was good. After what he did, it was good. It was good. It was good. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Yahweh. He will have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Listen to Yahweh say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says Yahweh. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain come down and snow from heaven, and do not return out of the earth to make it bring forth and bud. May he bring seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Remember, these are things that are come down in the winter to the ground that's dead. But they bring water that what would come would be life to the earth. Listen to what he says, he's comparing it. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing that I sent it to do. Let there be light. In the midst of our darkness, in the midst of the wills that we struggle with, let there be light. I end with this. It is for Yahweh to reveal to each of us in due time, when we are ready, what His will is. You tell someone, oh, it's Yahweh's will for this to happen. I promise you, I would have gotten extremely aggravated with you. You told me when I was going through what I was going through that that was Yahweh's will. Does it matter whether it is Yahweh's will or not? We were sent to love. And it's a choice. It's not an easy one. Part of it's forgiveness. Forgiving those people who thought they tried to come and comfort us with these words. My point in saying all this is it doesn't matter how bad a situation is. Yahweh can take it